The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 13 through 17. If you're using one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you may follow along on page 1015. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil, and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. This is the word of God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's so good to be with you this morning. I greet you from the cemetery that I work at. No, I'm just kidding. Paul, where are you? Hopefully it's not a cemetery in here after I'm done. So good to be with you, though. Again, I bring you greetings from Emmaus Church and Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And this morning, we get to talk about your favorite topic, politics. And so if you have a Bible, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, that's the text we're going to be looking at this morning. And if you want to hear more about politics, please come back tonight at 4. I'm doing 3 sessions that are diving a little deeper into some of these topics. And Carson and I were very intentional to make sure that it did not happen during another Chiefs game. And so you can come tonight. There's no Chiefs game on. You can be here. I'll go. I guess there's a tennis match on, though, earlier in the day, though. We're okay. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. To begin, before I read the text, I actually just want to begin by asking you a question and have some self-reflection for yourself as we begin thinking about politics from the scriptures. I want to ask you to silently, in your own head, not out loud, just take your own temperature on politics right now. How are you feeling about politics? How are you feeling about the upcoming election? Again, you don't need to say anything out loud. In a group this large, in a building like this, I'm guessing there's various responses from different people, maybe even in the same family. Some of you might be very passionate about politics. You care about what's happening in our world. You care about what's happening in the upcoming election. You care about the future of this country. And you find yourself very zealous about this topic. You watch a lot of news about what's happening in the world, in our country, and you're very up to date on what's going on in politics. Some of you on the opposite end, though, might feel somewhat apathetic about politics. On the opposite end, you might see people get very passionate about these topics, have arguments about these topics, and you feel like, you know, I'm just kind of trying to live my life, do my thing, I'm at home with kids, maybe I'm doing my job, and it just doesn't seem to affect my everyday life. So I just kind of push away from all of it. Or maybe you find yourself nervous and anxious and worried about either the future of our country or about how people respond to the upcoming election. Certainly, American politics, if you look throughout American history, there's always been passion around American politics, but it feels especially heightened right now in our culture with a lot of strong opinions about what's happening. So maybe in light of that passion, you find yourself maybe feeling frustrated. You find yourself frustrated. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to believe. You don't know who to trust. You actually have friends, Christian friends, who have different opinions about politics, and you don't know how to step forward faithfully in thinking and acting towards politics. And this morning, I just want to bring you back to the basics of what the scriptures say about how we are to engage politically. The scriptures are written, yes, a long time ago to people in the first century and before the first century, but they still speak to us today. And I think Peter's words here in 1 Peter 2 brings us back to simple truths that we need to remind ourselves of as we step into this next season. And so if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Version. You might have a different version, but that's okay. It's going to be from the Christian Standard Version here. So 1 Peter chapter 2, we already heard this, but just to remind ourselves of what's here, Peter writes to those in Asia Minor saying, "Submit," or your translation might say, "be subject to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slaves. Honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor." Well, as we look at this text, I'm going to take two passes at this text and show you two basic points. I'm going to have subpoints to all of these, but the two basic points that actually work together in this text are this. First, Christians are called to submit to governing authorities. And second, Christians are called to not rely on governing authorities. So I'm going to walk through the whole text once, showing us we're called to submit and do other things for governing authorities. Then I'm going to back up and go to the beginning of the text again and walk through it again and show you that we're called to not rely on governing authorities. So let's look at these in order. First, Peter tells us to submit or to be subject to governing authorities. You can see that at the very beginning of the verses 13 through 14. Peter says, "Submit to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors." What does it mean to submit or be subject to? Well, it means to voluntarily yield yourself to the authority of another. And notice that Peter says, don't just yield yourself to the authority of another in terms of the highest authority, the emperor in his day, but also to governors. In other words, a lower authority. So you have higher and lower authorities in the first century, and we have higher and lower authorities. In other words, Peter is saying you need to submit to all governing authorities that are over you in this way. That means we, in our context, submit to our president, Joe Biden, our vice president, Kamala Harris, your local representatives, your Missouri governor, senators, mayor, commissioner, etc., etc. We submit to both higher and lower authorities as Christians because this is what God has commanded us to do. But the reality is, even as you begin to think through some of these names, some of you might feel like, well, I don't agree with them on everything. Rarely are we going to have a governing authority where we agree with them on everything, but it might make you a little uncomfortable. How can I submit to them when we have such different views on things, when we disagree about so much? Don't you know what they think about us, or what they did during COVID, or what they think about sexuality? And the list could go on and on. And you might think, how can the scriptures say submit to these authorities? Maybe Peter doesn't understand the authorities that we're under. But we do have to remember the context that he's writing into. The government at the time was the Roman government. And I think it's fair to say that the Roman government was way worse than what we're experiencing now. There was a lot of good that the Roman government bring, like a lot of good that our government brings. But at the same time, we know that Rome was cruel to those who opposed them. We know that they actually killed those who opposed them. And we most famously know that they killed our Savior on a Roman cross. And that Peter is writing as a follower of Jesus, as someone who watched his Savior be crucified by this government, and he says, submit to them. Later on in Christian tradition, we actually learn that Peter himself is killed by the Roman government. That Paul, who also writes similar words in Romans 13, he's also executed by this government. So we have Peter, Paul, Jesus, all of them lose their life to this government, and they say, submit. Submit to them. So if we want, our government is different than theirs, view of this text, I'm just afraid that this text doesn't give us one. It doesn't give us an out and say, well, he doesn't understand the context he's right into. Our situation, by almost every standard, is much better than the one Peter's right into. And he says, submit to the government. Submit to them. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing on this point as Christians in America? Are we submissive citizens? I'm encouraged as I go around different churches and speak on this, that I actually am encouraged that I see a lot of Christians rightfully submitting to the government even when they don't agree with what's happening. Sometimes, though, I look at social media feeds and I think, I'm not sure that that constitutes as a submissive statement. And so there might be some work that we could do on this. Maybe there's things that we could think about and pray about in terms of how we're engaging with the governing authorities. Peter goes even further, though, than submitting to the government. He says in verse 15, we are to do good. He says, it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By doing good, I don't think he means private acts of purity, but actually public deeds that others would recognize as good deeds. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this about Christians. He has a way with words, so be ready for this. Christians are like manure. When they are all gathered into one place, they stink. But when they spread out, they do some good. What Luther is saying is not that it's wrong for us that we're gathered together here. That's a good thing. That's a command of the scriptures. But rather, Luther is saying sometimes Christians can get together and they can neglect the world. They can kind of build their own kingdoms within the church and forget about people outside of these walls. And I think what Luther is saying, in agreement with Peter, is that Christians are called to be those who do public good, not only submit, but to be exemplary citizens. So again, we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? As the body of Christ, are we for our neighborhoods and our schools and our local businesses and our swim teams and our softball leagues? I probably don't have to ask this about football and baseball, but are we for them, right? Are we engaging in society in a way that's helping others and not just thinking about ourselves? I was challenged in studying this as to whether our community would notice if our family left or if our church left. Like, would this community here notice if this church wasn't here anymore? Or would your neighborhood notice if you moved out of that neighborhood? Are you someone who's practicing doing good? Obviously, depending on your stage of life, that's going to look very different for you in different situations. But Peter's encouragement is to do good. Not only submit, but to do public good in society. Be exemplary citizens. So that the government looks at you and says, wow, I want more people like that. I want more people like that. Finally, in verse 17, Peter says, honor the emperor. I think Peter recognizes the command to submit or be subject to the governing authorities is clear. But maybe there can be a begrudging submission. Like, I know the scriptures say that, but I don't like doing that. So I'll submit, but I'm not happy about it. Here, he raises the bar even more, and he says, not only do you need to submit to them, but you need to honor those who are in authority. So how do you honor someone? How do you give special recognition to them? How do you regard them with respect? Well, you compliment them. You treat them with respect. You are patient with them. You ask questions before you accuse. You seek to understand before you condemn. You overlook mistakes. You forgive. That's honoring someone for what they do. And how are we doing at that as Christians? Are you honoring your governing authorities? And this is where it's so difficult. Even if you disagree with them, are you honoring governing authorities? I have to ask myself that a lot. It is the way that I'm speaking about this governing authority honoring to their position or not. Peter's call, he says, honor the emperor for who he is. And I think Christians would look at him even in that day and say, well, wait, he crucified our Savior. And Peter says, you still must honor him. You still must honor him. So we've seen three things that Christians are called to do. Submit, do good, and honor. But Peter gives two reasons why. Why are we to do these things? These commands, I think, are clear in the text. But he also gives us reasons why, which is so helpful for us. He says in verses 13 through 14, first, we do this because God has appointed the government to promote order. God has appointed the government to promote order. He says, submit to every human authority because of the Lord. There's the reason, right? You see that clause? Because of the Lord. We're not submitting to them because they're so great. We're submitting to them because of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, these rulers are those who punish those who do evil and praise those who do what is good. So when he says because of the Lord, what does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? I think it's likely that he means the same thing as Paul when Paul says in Romans 13, we submit because no authority exists outside of God's will. In other words, God has instituted these authorities over us. God already knows who's going to win in November. It's over in his mind in one sense, right? He's planned the beginning from the end. And he has instituted whoever that might be. That is his will and his plan. And you might ask, well, why does God appoint some of these people? I have some questions for him, right? But this text tells us, well, God uses these authorities to order society, to punish those who do evil, and to reward those or praise those who do what is good. So we have to remember as Christians that God uses the government to help us in so many ways, to order our society, that it doesn't have to be a Christian institution to do good. There are institutions outside of the church that do good. Families, businesses, the government, etc., etc. We believe that God orders society through these things. So then as Christians, we should be the first in line to joyfully support the ordering of society, that the government is good at its most basic level. God has given us the gift of the government and the gift of governing authorities. Maybe, though, in light of the frustration with American politics, sometimes in geriatric millennials like myself can only critique the American system. I teach at a school, and it feels like young people especially, it's just hard for them to engage in politics because it's so black and white. There's so much yelling back and forth and accusations back and forth. And honestly, I feel like young people just kind of want to push away from it in some sense. However, what we sometimes fail to realize as we voice these critiques is I think we often forget the good that the government does. And I think this text reminds us, government is good. Often when we voice critiques about the government, we do so in air-conditioned rooms with lights on. We often, most often, drove on streets that are paved with lights working, and hopefully you're not robbed along the way, right? All of those goods are set up by governing authorities, by police force, by having a system that works in terms of electricity, right? You have all of these goods that are actually for the ordering of society, which is good, and we should be thankful for those things. So while we might have the tendency to critique the American system or what's happening in politics, as Christians, we should be those who remind others, government is good. It's good to have a government. If you go to a country where there's no government, you'll be reminded very quickly that it's good to have a government, and a government that's largely functioning well. So our first response should actually just be thankfulness. We're thankful that we have a government. We're thankful that people are serving. We're thankful that we have all of these goods that we wouldn't have otherwise. So God has instituted the government and governing authorities for our good. Second, we're to do these things, submit, honor, and do good because it's part of our witness. Notice in verse 15 in chapter 2, he says, "For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good." Typically, we think of our witness as simply sharing the good news, but Peter reminds us here that it's also adorning the message with public deeds of good works. I mentioned this earlier. Tim Keller, the pastor in New York, once mentioned that when the world sees Christians only evangelizing, they see us only increasing our tribe or only increasing our market share. But, I don't think those things are true, but when they see us evangelizing and caring for the poor and promoting justice and seeking the betterment of our communities, then the preaching of the gospel will be more powerful. What Peter is saying here to actually a persecuted community here, he's saying, do you want people to think well of you? Well, then do good. You still might be persecuted, but guess what? When they bring you into court, and that's what's happening here, when they bring you into court and they try to pin something on you, they're going to look at you and be like, well, I don't like what they believe. I don't agree with them, but they're really good neighbors. They're really kind people. They actually serve really well in our society. That's what Peter's encouraging them to do. He's saying, silence the ignorance of foolish people who might not agree with you on this man who rose from the dead. They might think you're crazy for what you believe about this, that, or whatever it is. They might think you're backwater people who don't understand where modern society is going. But when they look at you as neighbors, as citizens, they're like, wow, they are really good citizens. And it silences them. It silences them. So Peter says, how are we to respond to governing authorities? How are we to think of them? How are we to speak of them? Submit. Do good. Honor. Why? God has placed these governing authorities here. And that's part of our witness. How we engage in politics is part of our witness. It's part of our evangelistic effort. This is part of how we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others in how we engage in politics. That's how simple it is. So that's past one. Now we're going to go through the text again and see something that might seem to go against what I've just said, but I don't think it does. While we are to submit and do good, Peter says we're not to rely upon them or give them ultimate loyalty. So all the positive things about the government that I said, now we transfer over here and he says, wait, you have a higher loyalty. You can't rely upon them. Three things in the text show this. First, Peter says governing authorities are only creatures. You can see that in verse 13. Peter says, submit or be subject to every human, or maybe your translation says creaturely authority. That might not seem like a big deal. Maybe you didn't stop on that word. Submit to every human or creaturely authority. But we need to remember again the context that Peter writes into. He was writing into the Roman context, and Roman emperors were often viewed as godlike figures. Actually, the coin, the denarius that Jesus held up, who should I pay taxes to, had a bust of Caesar underneath, or on top, I don't remember, underneath or on top, but one of those places on that coin, it said, the Son of God. So it had a bust of Caesar's face, like a sideways bust of his face, and it said, this is the Son of God, basically. And so there was something called the emperor cult, where these emperors were viewed and almost worshipped. Actually, in the early church, many of the churches said, hey, we will honor and pray for the emperor. We will not bow down to him. Because the government was saying, you should bow down to him. And they said in church, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And we might think, well, hey, that's Rome. We're not tempted in the same way to worship our governing authorities like those in Rome were. But isn't it also true that we can get very wrapped up into politics? Isn't it also true that we can begin to hang on every word of the candidate that we most like? Isn't it also true that we can get feverishly excited about this ruler that we think is going to bring peace and justice and equity, etc., etc., etc.? And the reality is, actually, if you walk into the U.S. Capitol, if you walk into the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C., above you is the apotheosis of George Washington. There's this image here. Apotheosis is a Greek term meaning the elevation of someone to a divine status. And what you have here is George Washington, who we can be very thankful for. But in this painting, in our U.S. Capitol, we have a painting that shows that he's being exalted above all other things as a sort of godlike figure. Maybe we're not that different than those in Roman times. But Peter corrects that view. He says, no, don't worship them. They're only created authorities. They are creatures. So while we submit to them, we don't become feverishly excited about them. We don't hang on their every word. We don't think all things are ending when our candidate is not elected, because we don't believe any candidate will bring the kingdom of God. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 5, this is what the psalmist says. This is where we have to combine this with submit to the government, they do good, and what Psalm 146 says. He says, I'll just read it to you, don't trust in princes. In other words, don't trust in governing authorities. Yes, submit to them, but don't trust in them. Why? They can't save you in the Son of Man who can't save you. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plans die. In other words, I think he's saying what Peter's saying. They're just creatures. They're just human beings. It's not like they're all that special. They're going to die like all of us and go down into the ground. And on that day, their plans die. And then he turns it on them and he says, happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob. Don't trust them, but happy and blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He, God himself, executes justice for the exploited. Notice he's listing what the government's supposed to do. He gives food to the hungry. Does the government give food to the hungry? The psalmist says, no, God gives food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord, he reigns forever. They die, but he reigns forever. Governing authorities are not ultimate. They will not establish justice. They will not help the resident alien. They will not protect the fatherless and the widow in the ultimate sense. Only God can do that. Earthly kingdoms will come and go, but God's kingdom will last forever. But sometimes we're tempted to think they will. Sometimes we're tempted to think one party will bring ruin and injustice, and the other one will bring peace. But they're only creatures. We don't put our trust in them. We submit to them. We recognize the good that they can do. But we trust ultimately in the Lord. Second, we don't rely on them in this text because we are free. Notice what he says. Yes, we are to submit, but we're supposed to submit as what? As free people. What does he mean by that? He says, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slave. Slaves. One of my favorite stories is in Matthew 17. I think this illustrates it so well. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he comes to Jesus, the same author of this. He comes to Jesus and he asks if they should pay the temple tax. And Jesus, like usual, answers the question by asking a question, right? He says, Peter, do kings tax their sons or their citizens? Peter's like, well, this is obvious, right? Kings don't tax their sons. They tax their citizens. And Jesus says, the sons are free. In other words, Jesus is leading Peter down this road of, you're a son of the kingdom. You don't need to pay the temple tax. I'm a type of king who doesn't tax you. But then he flips on him again. He's getting Peter all off balance. He says, now, what I want you to do is go fishing, find this fish. In the fish's mouth, there's going to be a coin, and go give that to the temple tax. It's this really strange story, but what Jesus is showing him, you're free. You're free as a citizen of the kingdom or as a son of the kingdom. But so as to not give offense in this time, I want you to pay the temple tax. In other words, what Jesus is saying is we submit to them and pay taxes to them, not because they are so great and not even because they say so. We submit and pay taxes because God says so. We are free. Submit as free people. You're doing this voluntarily because God, your true authority, has told you to pay taxes. That's what Jesus said. Pay taxes to Caesar. So we pay taxes not because they tell us to, but because God tells us to. Finally, Peter says we are not to rely on them because we have a higher loyalty. In verse 17, Peter says, honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor. You might wonder, well, where does it say in there have a higher loyalty? But look at how that is structured. At the beginning and end, you have honor. And in the middle, you have something unique, don't you? At the beginning and end of that clause, you have honor everyone, honor the emperor. But in the middle, he says, reserve a special place for God's people and God himself. Love the brothers and sisters and fear God. Yes, you honor everyone. And yes, you honor the emperor. That's how you're called to treat everyone. But you have a higher loyalty in the middle to God's people and to God himself. For Peter, our primary identity and loyalty is not to human governments. It's to God and his people. That is why, though we submit to the government, there is a point where we say no more. I'm going to talk about that tonight. There's a point where we say no more. We never yield to the government that which has already been claimed by God. Acts 5, we must obey God above you. So yes, we are called to submit to them, but we are also called not to rely upon them. And why do we do this? They're only creatures. We're free. We're sons of the kingdom, and we have a higher loyalty. When I ask you to take your temperature on politics, the temptation for us is probably to be way too excited about earthly politics, or maybe way too apathetic about it. Politics are important, but they're not ultimate. They're not ultimate. This text, I think, helps gather our balance again. An ancient document written to those so long ago, I think, holds so much wisdom for us. We need to situate worldly politics under, not over, the kingdom of God. In a very real sense, why is Peter writing all these things? He's writing all these things because ultimately he's proclaiming that Jesus is the King of Kings. That Jesus made a political announcement himself. He declared himself to be king and he invited people into his kingdom. And he did what no other king does, what no other president does. Most kings, most emperors, most Caesars, most presidents, what do? They send their people out into battle. The people fight for the ruler. What did our ruler do? He was the one who stepped forth first. And he said, I will sacrifice myself on behalf of my people for their sins, that they might have eternal life in my kingdom forever. Don't you want to follow a king like that? As Christians, that's who we follow. And that's why we say, yes, we'll submit to you, but we actually have a better king than you. And that king is Jesus Christ. And he's ruling and reigning now, and one day he will return to establish his kingdom forever. And that's really good news. So what are we supposed to do politically? The most important political thing you can do is tell other people about him. Tell other people about him. The most important political thing you can do is come here on Sunday mornings and take of his body and his blood. How do you act more politically? You submit to the King of Kings. You submit to the King of Kings and you follow him and you tell other people, you see all the injustice? You see the mess in this world? Don't you hate it? I've got good news for you. Someone's going to fix it. It's not that guy. It's not that girl. It's somebody else. He's going to fix it. And you can be in on that now and be a part of that project. Let's pray that the Lord would give us strength to do so. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on our behalf. And we ask, even now, that you would strengthen us to do your will. We pray that we would be the people of God, empowered by the Spirit, to walk in faithfulness. We are thankful for the government. We're thankful for all the good that comes from the government. And you, in your scriptures, you tell us to pray for governing authorities. And so we do pray. We ask that you would give them wisdom. We ask that you would guide their steps, that you would give them wise counselors who are around them, who would direct them in the ways that they should go. We pray, Father, that you would allow their rulings to allow us to lead quiet and peaceful lives. Oh, Father, may your will be done in the upcoming election, November. May the kingdom of heaven come to earth. May you return quickly. And Father, would you make us faithful in the meantime? We thank you that you have died on our behalf. That you have welcomed us into your kingdom. And that you take great delight in us. Would you be with us as we attempt to step forward in faithfulness to what your word has revealed? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.